and welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. One of the finest things to see is a person who has a firm grasp on the Word of God. What is even more refined, however, is when you behold someone of which it might be said, the Word of God has gotten a firm hold on him. There are many pastors who preach from the Bible, but few who have made it their daily work to preach through the Bible, book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. This done, year after year after year. It was the great ballerina Anna Pavlova who said, "No one can arrive from being talented alone. God gives talent. Work transforms that talent into genius." Our guest today has mined the treasures of the Bible throughout his life as a Christian. And he's here to share some of those riches. But you know what? It wasn't always that way. Until he found Christ, or shall I say, Christ found him. As usual, we want to pause at the beginning of our show just for a moment to remind you that the reason we have the Good Life Hawaii show is to bring you closer to Jesus Christ. For you to be reminded that whatever you might be going through at this very time, what you might be feeling, the pressures, the burdens that you may be carrying, the weight that is so heavy upon you, a moment of stress, relational pains, financial distress, or even cataclysms that happen all around us that we see on TV and on the internet. And sometimes it just takes our breath away. But God, in spite of all those things, can bring us supernatural hope and breathe a breath of new life in anyone who would put their faith and trust in him. Pastor Bill Stonebreaker is the founding pastor of Calvary Chapel Honolulu, a ministry that has literally touched an immense number of lives throughout Hawaii and the world. He is here with us in studio. And it is my privilege to have him, Pastor Bill, welcome to our show.
Well, Danny, it's so good to be with you. And I haven't seen you in a while, but I always admire the work that God's doing through your life. So you're always, even though we haven't don't see each other real often, you know, I think we're on each other's hearts and love each other.
Yes, yes. Pastor, you know, as I, you know, you might not realize this, but I've been following your ministry for many years. I remember when I was I was 18 years old. I had had my fall from the pulley, and I tried going to Biola University for a month. And then I had an emotional breakdown. Mm. I eventually ended up going back to Biola and graduating from there. But during that month, I was so downcast, and my parents had to fly up to bring me back home. This was in 1986, and I worked for one of the elders at our church. He owned a flower business, and I was a delivery boy. And every day, I would turn on the radio and listen to your preaching ministry. Mm. And God really ministered to my heart. Every day, I would listen to you expound the scriptures, and God laid a foundation in me, even during those years when I was so much in pain.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, I mean, I never had a chance to really tell you that, Pastor, but thank you for your ministry and your faithfulness all through the years. Well, Pastor Bill, tell us, you know, you're here in Hawaii now. The ministry continues to grow, but where did it all start? Where did you grow up?
Well, yeah, I sometimes give my testimony in two parts, because when I was just a young boy, I grew up in a situation where I didn't really have a father that I could identify with. My mom was married a number of different times, and there was never really a father that stuck with me. So really didn't have much of a father image. And so I would go off and go surfing, and I was kind of a loner, you know, all by myself. And I would go fishing at first, then I started surfing later. But I remember as a young kid, maybe, 10 years old, I was down on the beach one time and just sitting there, and these, I guess they would call them beach evangelists. They came down and they were singing these songs about Jesus, and I was sitting off to the side. I didn't necessarily join them. And then they pulled out this book, and I still remember they called it a wordless book, and it had a page on it that was black, or two pages that were black, and then they would turn it, and they said, "This is your heart. Your heart is black because of sin." Mm-hmm. And then they would turn the next page, it would be red, but the blood of Jesus Christ is able to cleanse you. Next page would be white, and they say, and your heart would be white as snow, and then the last page would be gold, and you can have the hope of heaven. And so just as a little kid, not knowing anything about the gospel, about Jesus Christ, I knew that I was, you know, in that category, a sinner. I used to steal, and actually I grew up in actually Southern California in Manhattan Beach, but we lived in Northern Redondo Beach, and I got into so much trouble as just like a 5-6-year-old kid. I was breaking into houses and burning down fields and throwing rocks through windows of new homes. And it was just the influence of my friend's older brothers and got us into some horrible things that, you know, I try to forget. And so my parents really had to just take me out of that environment. We moved down to the beach area, and that was my first experience with Jesus Christ. But there was no discipleship, just going to a very traditional church, but no teaching of the Bible. So that kind of faded into a memory when I got into high school and got into all sorts of, you know, high school things and really way away from the Lord.
Well, I don't think you're alone in that. I think a lot of people, including myself, can relate with the high school years of drifting. And so you drifted away. And what happened?
Well, you know, it's funny. You don't even know you drifted, because that was just, you got into high school and totally forgot. I think sometimes you can't really tell your testimony as it's being built in your life, as God is doing things in your life. But then when you look back, when the Lord really gets a hold of your life, you can look back and you can see those points where the Lord was really dealing with you and bringing you along. But getting into high school and getting into all sorts of trouble, and then just growing up, I became very secular. Didn't have any idea what Christianity was, or didn't remember anything that happened to me when I was a young kid. And then as we eventually moved to Hawaii, being a surfboard builder, starting a surfboard business here in Hawaii, and working for some of the names that are long gone, Surfline Hawaii and Lightning Bolt, and then my own brand, Bill Stonebreaker Surfboards. As a surfer, you get into a lot of things that can totally destroy the family. You know, just a very loose lifestyle and just off doing your own thing. And so I had done that for a number of years, and down in Waikiki, just doing some pretty crazy things. There was a fella that, I guess he used to do evangelism down there, and he was walking down the street, with his guitar on his shoulder, and my friend said, "Hey, that guy sings songs about Jesus." And in my mindset, I was 27 at this time.
Were you married?
Yes, I was married. I had three kids. I didn't want my kids. I didn't want my wife. I wanted to be off on my own. Mm. And so we were just about divorced, just at the point of being divorced. We were going to I think he was a psychiatrist or psychologist, mm-hmm. a marriage guy. He wasn't a Christian, and we were going to him as kind of a last-ditch effort to save this marriage. But I didn't want to be the one that would sign the divorce papers. If there was going to be a divorce, I didn't want to have that guilt. I wanted my wife to do that. So it was a very unstable relationship at this point because of what we were doing. And so when my friend, we were down there sitting in Waikiki in my van, drinking beer and doing all sorts of crazy things. And when my friend pointed this guy out, I thought, he doesn't look like a Christian. From my point of view, a Christian was kind of a person that wouldn't fit into society. And this guy was kind of a cool looking guy. I thought, how could he be a Christian? So I called him over. I said, what are you doing down here? And he said, well, I'm singing songs about Jesus, telling people what he's done in my life. And I kind of challenged him. I said, well, what has he done in your life?
Mm.
You see, I was into all the transcendental meditation, all the mystical kind of yoga, and Sri Aurobindo, who was an Indian prophet, and just all the kind of the spacey kind of stuff. And it fascinated me when he said, what Jesus has done in my life. I said, well, what has he done? I said, well, he said, I've invited Jesus in my life. He's changed me from the inside out. Now, in my mind, I thought, that's an interesting concept. I was always trying to get it from the outside in. Perfect body. I had a surfing weight at 167 pounds, and if I was over that, I felt really fat. If I was a couple pounds over that, if I saw somebody eating a McDonald's hamburger, I would just condemn them and put them down like unhealthy. And so I just had a real weird concept of body consciousness and all that stuff. But it wasn't working. With all the yoga, with all these body disciplines and stuff, it wasn't working. I wasn't content on the inside. And so it just fascinated me what he said. Inviting Jesus to come on the inside, he changes you from the inside out.
You know, Pastor, we live in a world, I think, those questions and those yearnings that people have been jumping and scratching for, reaching out for, in various forms, continues to this very day. And it even escalates under the tremendous stress that many, many people are in right now. And you were going through that at that time, confronted by somebody, and then challenging this person who seemed to be a little peculiar in terms of your concept.
Peculiar for a Christian in a good sense.
Yeah,
I mean, he didn't look like the part.
He was like a hip guy, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he was kind of like one of us.
Uh-huh.
You know, which my concept of Christianity was different.
And I wonder, as you're listening to Pastor Bill Stonebreaker share about the times before he became Pastor Bill of Calvary Chapel, Honolulu, I'm wondering if, as you hear him talk about testimony, as you listen to his testimony, and you're thinking, what has God done in his life? Could he do it in my life? Perhaps that's a question that you're asking, and we believe that God has set this time up just for you to realize, to be aware that he loves you, he knows you, and that what God can do in the life of Pastor Bill Stonebreaker, he can do it in your life, wherever you are. When we come back from our break, we're going to hear more from Pastor Bill. You know, these were just the times of the beginning of what marvelous things God had planned for him. You know, God has marvelous plans for you. In spite of whatever situation you might be facing, God has a purpose. God has a reason. When we come back, Pastor Bill will share more. You don't want to miss it. Stay with us, okay? We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
On a dark winter night at Hawaii's Pali Ridge, Danny Yamashiro's life was forever changed as he fell 300 feet off a cliff, attempting to rescue his girlfriend. With a fractured skull, torn scalp, a shattered ankle, and smashed body, he fell again another 100 feet. No one thought he would live. Danny's book, Paradise Calls, is a spellbinding story of survival and hope. A first-hand account of crushed dreams, recovery, and renewed faith to bring Christ's message of hope to people everywhere. Here's Danny.
As you read Paradise Calls, may God bless you and enrich your life with divine hope in the midst of whatever challenge you face today.
Danny Yamashiro can also be heard on the Good Life Radio Show at 2 p.m. on the new KGU 99.5 FM and on AM 760 KGU. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.org and remember to get Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. For more information, visit Danny online at thegoodlifehawaii.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org.
To The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Welcome back to our show. I'm here with my featured guest today, Pastor Bill Stonebreaker, Calvary Chapel, Honolulu. Pastor Bill was just talking with us about his conversion, how he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord sent somebody into his life right there in Waikiki. And you know, the Lord can do those kinds of things. He works in innocuous places where you may not even realize that he would reach you there. But right there in Waikiki. Pastor Bill, tell us more.
Well, you know, the fellow that actually preached to me came up to me years later because the church had started on the North Shore, and I recognized him. I didn't know who he was, but it was Randall Tong. And Randy is, he's a minister today, still doing really mm-hmm. great in the Lord. But, you know, just the fruit of that, being down there witnessing for Christ, we don't realize what effect that could have. But, you know, I really thank the Lord for, you know, his words and what he said and how the Lord has changed my life. But from that point on, when, you know, it was pretty much a challenge. And Randy said, how does this happen? He says, well, Christ can come in, change you from the inside out. He said, just you could pray this prayer with me. And so I did. I prayed a prayer of salvation. And it was, for me at that time, I did want change, mm-hmm. but I didn't know how to change. I tried to do it on my own, you know, with all this mysticism and New Age things, and just wasn't working. So I thought, it seems so easy. It seems, how can that work? And so I prayed that prayer, and the friend that I was with, he had a buddy with him, was on the other side of the car on the passenger side, and prayed with that guy. And then we kind of finished up our beers and went home, and I didn't think anything of it. You know, I wasn't going to be religious. If this God that he was talking about was really going to change me, then he would have to do it. I wasn't going to try another form, a path of religion. But the interesting thing, I kept running into to Christians. I remember some fella knocked on my door out in the North Shore and asked me to use my shaping room. Because I was a surfboard builder, I shaped my boards at my house, and then I had a shop in town in Honolulu, and then out on the North Shore in Haleiwa. And then I would glass them there, but I would shape them at home. And you never let anybody use your shaping room because then you get a line of guys wanting to shape boards. Mm. But for some reason, I recognized this guy. He said, yeah, I saw you out surfing the other day. And I went, oh, yeah. I never let anybody use my shaping room. And he said, oh, okay. And I said, but I'll make an exception. I let him use it. He'd never shaped a surfboard before. He must have been in there for 6 hours or so, 8 hours. And then finally said, hey, I'm done. Would you like to see it? So I came out. I looked at it. Kind of looked like a potato chip, you know, for the first surfboard effort. Huh. And I said, well, that's fine, but it takes about 100 boards before you can kind of get it down. Huh. And then he said something. He said, can I share something with you? And I always thought that was a weird term, share.
Yeah.
You know, but it seems to be our Christian terminology, doesn't it? Because I use it all the time now. And I said, well, why don't you just tell me?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, let me tell you about how, you know, when I was 10 years old, I think he said he was 10 years old, or maybe it was 13. He was just a young kid. He said, I got involved in heroin, and I'd been taking heroin ever since. And he was a pretty young guy, 20 or so years old. And he said, I became a Christian, and God delivered me from heroin. And I'm on my way to, I guess, some area in Vietnam, not in Vietnam, but a holding place where some of the military guys got caught up into hard drugs. And he says, I'm going over there to tell them what Jesus can do in their life. And I thought, you know, that's really interesting. That's really good for you, you know. And he said, but I said, I'm just not ready now. That's neat for you. But you see, this is already after I had made that commitment mm-hmm. down in Waikiki. Mm-hmm. But I didn't remember it. I didn't think about that. And then he said, well, I'll pray for you. And I really appreciated that he didn't try to put me as a notch on his Bible, you know, trying to, you know, win a person to Christ. And apparently he did start praying for me because I kept running into other Christians and other Christians. And then finally one day, surfing out in the North Shore at Rocky Point, which is a very competitive place of surfing and gas chambers, I just had a horrible headache. I'd come in, it had been a surf session where you're just very aggressive, you're bad vibing other guys out, and I just thought, after that session, I thought, I have to get together with some nice people. I don't want to be a nice person, I just want to be with some nice people. I think I'll go to church. This was a Saturday. I think I'll go to church, Sunday. So I picked my kids up from the babysitter, and the babysitter just happened to say, would you like to go to church with me in the morning? And so it's like the Lord had this set up. And so I went to church with that girl in the morning, and it just happened to be this little country church, no powerful preaching. It wasn't like a Billy Graham type crusade. It was very simple. And I found myself compelled to go forward and receive Christ. And I felt now, as I look back on that, I thought, well, she's expecting me to respond. But I know she was praying for me now. That's where I was compelled. And so I walked down that aisle of that little church. There's only about probably maybe 25 people in the church. And I heard, as I made the altar call, I heard this person go, oh, you know, almost like when you get a good wave, you have one of your surf guys, you know, give you a hoot.
Yeah.
And I thought, that's strange, making this altar call, somebody's hooting for me. And so when I, you know, accepted the Lord afterwards, there were two guys over there, Bob Cording and Jerry Humphreys. They were making a Christian surf movie, Tales from the Tube. And this one guy who was a Christian and a surfboard maker, and not maker, but a surfboard enthusiast and filmmaker, he began to talk to me about Christianity and surfers. And I thought, how can a surfer be a Christian? And he told me about Brad McCall, who was one of the top surfers back in that time, early 70s, had come to the Lord. And so all this connection of surfing and Christianity, because I thought, I'm going to be an oddball here, a Christian surfer, that doesn't seem to fit. But again, that kind of solidified, when I made that public confession, it kind of solidified something in my life, and then connecting me with these younger people that were Christians. I was 27 at that time. And so something began to really start germinating in my heart from all these Christians that I had encountered.
You know, I think we need to just highlight what you just said, Pastor, about how God, you know, He works in ways that are sometimes people might say, "Oh, that's an incredible coincidence," and we don't give credit to the fact that God was actually working, bring people into we cross paths, certain situations. But the way that you're describing the change that was going on inside of you, as God was working on the outside, He was working on this simultaneously.
Yeah.
But also how he was crafting a niche just for Bill Stonebreaker, for you to fit in into his family, surround you with guys who could understand the surf culture, surf language, and just connect with you. You know, Pastor Bill sharing today, I think it's something for us to highlight yet again. Another thing, that God intersects in your life too. There are certain people that He'll bring, certain things. As you look back, you can see connecting points of how God brought people, how you expressed yourself. And it might not even have been, that's the thing, Pastor Bill, it wasn't perfect. It wasn't like it all happened at this one time and your life changed radically. I mean, it's a radical change, but it was a process, what you went through. People go through process. You know, I am very, very much interested in finding out how through this you received a call to the ministry. And I mean, it's been your life, your life ministry from this point. So when we come back from our break, Pastor Bill, if you could, I'd love to hear that part of your incredible story. And then, the last time we talked about family, you were ready to call it quits. You were afraid at the very tail end. But things began to change. I'd like to hear about family.
Yeah.
And your dear wife and your children and how your family has grown. When we come back, we've got more with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker of Calvary Chapel. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home. So afraid that you will not be found, it won't be long before your sun goes down. Just leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. The fact that there are business owners who care enough about our community to bring God's hope to people is one of the greatest gifts to society. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show appreciates their generous financial support.
The Good Life Radio Show is a ministry that has a family of financial supporters. Grateful for their generosity, Danny Yamashiro and the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show would like to thank Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, A1A electrician Tony Lathrop Lee of State Farm Mililani, HMC Karaoke, Birch Union Service Station on School Street, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Michael Beasley of Kiani, Realtor Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, and Chinnin and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated. To learn more about our sponsors and further sponsorship opportunities, visit thegoodlifehawaii.org.
A healthy smile can make all the difference. But where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Welcome back to our show. I'm here with my featured guest today, Pastor Bill Stonebreaker of Calvary Chapel, Honolulu. You can find out more about Pastor Bill and the ministry of Calvary Chapel at www.calvarychapelofhonolulu.com. That's Calvary Chapel of Honolulu, one word, calvarychapelofhonolulu.com. Pastor Bill, how did your call to ministry come?
Well, I realized that the first thing was my marriage. You know, I had really done so many things to destroy my relationship with my wife and my kids. And like I said, I never, before I was a Christian, as I was just surfing was really my God. That's all I ever wanted to do is surf. And I didn't realize how much of a God it was until I became a Christian and realized anything that is the master passion of your life is really going to be your God. And so when I came to the Lord, God just broke my heart. He gave me such a tremendous love for my wife and my kids. I realized if I had lost them, I would lose the most precious thing in my life. And so at that point, I realized I needed to win back my wife and the respect of my family and all. And so from that point on, I just really began to read the Bible, and the words were just jumping off the pages. And I realized that marriage, the institution of marriage, is something that God is close to God's heart, and it's a reflection of Christ and the church. Mm-hmm. And so I knew I had to win back my wife and my marriage. And so as, you know, weeks and even, weeks went on, I told my wife that I'm a Christian now. I'm and my life has changed. I'm going to be different. And she wasn't very happy with me, you know, at all. Mm. And she really wasn't happy with the fact that I was a Christian and Jesus Christ. She didn't know anything about that. And she said, well, you know, she finally, after a few weeks and maybe even a couple months, she said, well, all right, I will stick with the marriage, but as soon as you become a pastor, that's when we get a divorce. Huh. You know, she didn't want to have anything to do with, you know, me going full on into this. Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, the Bible study that I had gone to, the people said it was meeting in Wailua out there. We were living on the North Shore. I was living at Sunset Beach, bought a house there back in, you know, early 70s, and living out there and just that wonderful life of the surfer. But then this family, they said, we can't hold the Bible study here anymore. And I said, well, we can hold it at my house. Now, I didn't check with my wife at all. And so the next week, here are a bunch of people in our house. And she came home from baseball because she was a softball player. And here are all these people in the house. She sits down and in the seat, you know, in the living room, looking around at all these people, lights up a cigarette. I know I shouldn't be telling this, you know, about her, but she doesn't mind because she You know, she was so changed. And looking around, and she thought Christians were so phony because mm-hmm. they say, praise the Lord this, praise the Lord that. Mm-hmm. And so it took a little while, but she saw the change that took place, and she saw these people. They really befriended her. They loved her, mm-hmm. you know, and it was kind of uncanny for her. She couldn't figure it out. And as she saw me change, she about a year after that, it took some time, but about a year after that, she received the Lord, and so, you know, she's now saved. But it took a long time for us to undo the tangle and the mess we'd made out of our relationship, because we had been together for 7 years at this point. I got saved, so I thought, well, I've got to give God at least 7 years to untangle the mess that I've made. And so starting down that path, it wasn't bliss just because she got saved and I was a Christian, but there was just really a lot of old things passing away, new things coming. But then as that was taking place, also the people started just coming to our house. We found we had a house full of people. We lived in a little stick home out in the North Shore that was like a two-bedroom house, one bathroom, probably 800 square feet. And we had like 85 people packing into that home. There were mostly surfer people and young people. I was, like I said, I was only 27, so you had these young people, these teenagers right out of high school, surfers, and they were just packing into that house. And I was always so afraid. I didn't know what to do with all these people. So we put a Bible teaching tape on and let the tape teach the people. And I know when the people would come into the home, I'd be so freaked out. I was not a public speaker. And, you know, I'd have one of the friends there. I'd go, here, you lead the Bible study tonight. He said, I'm not leading. It's your house. You lead, you know. And so it was always so scary, you know, to have all these people and wonder what to do. But, but the Lord just gave grace, and people kept packing in and then kept coming. And we had some people from the mainland come over, some young guys come over. And they'd heard about what was going on in the home, and they kind of wanted to take over the Bible study. But they weren't surfers, you know, and they were kind of preppy guys. And they just didn't seem to fit in. Nice guys. I the guy's still a good friend of mine.
Yeah.
But didn't seem to fit in. And so something kind of dramatic took place. And it took place because I was kind of the key guy. It was in my house, so I was hanging out with a lot of different Christians, and especially pastors. And I would invite these guys in to do the teachings because I thought, wow, these guys in anywhere from very traditional churches to Pentecostal churches. Mm-hmm. But when I recognized, hey, these guys have something to say, I would have them come in and speak to all these young mm-hmm. kids that mm-hmm. were in my home. And I didn't want to lead. I didn't think that I was a pastor because I didn't know what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And so we invited a particular pastor from the First Assembly of God, and Sam Sasser. He's with the Lord now, but he was to me, he was a man that kind of went beyond the denominational lines, you mm-hmm. know. And so when he came in, I always thought he had something really deep to share. And this fellow that came over from the mainland, he began to work for Sam. And yet this guy was out in the North Shore wanting to actually be the pastor of the church. And yet I just didn't feel like he was, you know, part of our culture. I just didn't know how that would work. And so I can remember one night as I invited Sam to come on out and lead the Bible study and teach. We had a house full of young people, and I'll never forget what Sam said. He brought a Pentecostal or a charismatic Catholic fellow with him. The guy was dressed in black robes with his collar, and he had these little bells that he would tinkle during the worship service. It was just so funny. We had anything and everything happen out in those Bible studies. I mean, just really incredible stuff. But I remember Sam said, let's pray for this one fella who, you know, was working for him. And so we laid hands on the fella that came over to take the church. And Sam said, as we were praying, Sam said, the Lord wants you to know that he wants you to just wait. And as we're praying, I'm thinking, yeah, that's what I was thinking. Just wait. And, you know, that's it. Just wait. You know, let the Lord do it. Because he was a very proactive, ambitious guy. You know, he wanted to come in and do all this stuff. But we were just kind of a kickback, casual fellowship. And I thought, that's good. And then Sam said, Bill, let's pray for you. And I thought, oh, okay. And so as he laid his hands on me and the people were praying, he had a prophecy. And he said, Bill, you are like a Peter, and God is waiting for you to step out in faith. As he had prayed that or prophesied that, God gave me a vision at the same time. I saw this giant hand, God's hand. And then I saw this little person in the hand. And as he said, God is waiting for you to step out in faith, I saw this hand pushing this little person that was me, pushing me out. God is waiting for you to step out in faith. But I was doing this, kind of like backpedaling, like, no. And then I realized that God wanted me to receive the call that he had upon my life and actually to be that person that I was already acting in that role as a pastor. I just didn't, you know, I didn't understand it. You know, I was already doing pastoring work and having a heart for the sheep. And now it was kind of, God was making it kind of official. Now accept that call and be what God has made you. So that really was a turnaround in my life. And then I had, at the same time, I was connected with some people in Costa Mesa, and they had me go over to what was called a shepherd school. And not long after that, I received in the mail an ordination certificate from Pastor Chuck Smith and their board. And I looked at that and I thought, boy, I sure hope they know what they're doing, you know, because I just felt so insecure. I didn't feel like I knew what I was doing as a pastor. Yeah, I was a surfer, but I guess, you know, God called fishermen, so we can call surfers as well. So that kind of began to solidify my calling.
Pastor, I hear your heart, even in that surf mode, getting that certificate in the mail after going to shepherd school, and just that sense of inadequacy before God. I hope they're making the right decision. You know, today you might be listening and thinking, how could God use me? There might be a sense of inadequacy that you may be feeling. And, boy, I'm looking at a man of God right in studio, a giant of the faith, and faith through dependence on the Lord because of those inadequacies. You know, sometimes we run away from our inadequacies, but could it be that we feel sometimes like that little Bill Stonebreaker being pushed out by the hand of God? Perhaps you feel like a little one being pushed out by the hand of God, and you're not alone. Pastor Bill and I understand. We've felt those feelings. But sometimes God does that and allows us to experience that so that we can trust him even more. And you know what happens when we do? God does miraculous, marvelous things that surprise even us. And even beyond that, when he does it, we don't touch any of the glory because we know that it was God who did it. And what a privilege to be used by him. I'll tell you what, is God speaking to you today? Are you being pushed out with the ever so gentle but purposeful hand of God? Do you feel inadequate? Trust him even more. Rely on him even more. Depend on him. When we come back, Pastor Bill, he's got so much experience through the years. We're doing this series, Hope in a Time of Crisis. Anybody that pastors year after year understands crisis firsthand. If you've experienced a crisis, a challenge, Pastor Bill has a word for you, something that God has spoken to his heart. Prepare your heart to receive what the Lord would have to say to you at this time. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, namelessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
On a dark winter night at Hawaii's Pali Ridge, Danny Yamashiro's life was forever changed as he fell 300 feet off a cliff, attempting to rescue his girlfriend. With a fractured skull, torn scalp, a shattered ankle, and smashed body, he fell again another 100 feet. No one thought he would live. Danny's book, Paradise Calls, is a spellbinding story of survival and hope. A first-hand account of crushed dreams, recovery, and renewed faith to bring Christ's message of hope to people everywhere. Here's Danny.
As you read Paradise Calls, may God bless you and enrich your life with divine hope in the midst of whatever challenge you face today.
Danny Yamashiro can also be heard on the Good Life Radio Show at 2 p.m. on the new KGU 99.5 FM and on AM 760 KGU. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.org and remember to get Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. For more information, visit Danny online at thegoodlifehawaii.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. To The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Welcome back to our show. I'm here with my featured guest today, Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. Pastor Bill is the senior pastor of Calvary Chapel of Honolulu. You can find out more information about Calvary Chapel of Honolulu at calvarychapelofhonolulu.com. Find out about their church, their service times, their programs, their school, their bookstore, and the many ministries and services, service programs that they have to minister to the community and minister to you. Pastor Bill, we've talked about your faith, your conversion experience, how God brought your family together, how He called you out of a Bible study that kept growing, and your calling, and then how you went to Shepherd School and received the certificate of ordination from Pastor Chuck Smith. How did your relationship with the Calvary Chapel movement, family of churches, that has just grown exponentially, how did that all come to be?
You know, I was shaping surfboards in my shaping room of my house. You're there with your own thoughts for hour after hour. I would be in there for 5-6 hours shaping boards, sometimes even longer. And I had so much garbage in my brain, so many things that were going on in my mind that were just horrible. And I realized when I started reading the Bible and got saved, the Bible talks about be renewed, be changed by the renewing of your mind. And I needed to occupy my mind with Bible, you mm-hmm. know, whether it be somebody just reading the Bible where you could get those tapes, or teaching. And so I knew that Costa Mesa had a teaching ministry. Pastor Chuck Smith, Surfer, had come over and given me one of Chuck's tapes, and I listened to him, and I thought, wow, that's exactly, you know, what's happening here. And so I sent away to get his tapes, his verse-by-verse through the Bible tapes. And so when I would get them, I would listen to them in my shaping room, hour after hour. So that was kind of my Bible training, training up. It was kind of like Bible college in your shaping room.
Yes.
And I couldn't wait to get the next installment of tapes. I might have enough money to get 10, 20 tapes or so, and then get those. And so there's where the connection came. And just the idea of verse-by-verse teaching from Genesis to Revelation, teaching through the Bible. Usually, if you go through the entire Bible, there are stories and there are doctrines and so forth that you can't avoid. They're right there. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, if I want to pick my favorite topic, you know, to teach Sunday morning, it's always going to be my favorite topic. Mm-hmm. But if I'm going through the Bible, it's always going to be what God would want the people to hear. Certain doctrines that you might want to avoid. Hell is not an easy doctrine to talk about.
Sure.
Abortion is not an easy doctrine to talk about. Homosexuality is not an easy. But if you're going through the Bible, you're never going to miss the totality of what the Bible has to offer. So I found that in my own life, I was reading the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and it was really changing my life so dramatically. So we, and that is basically the emphasis of what Pastor Chuck has, is simply teach the Bible simply. And so that has really been what we've done ever since the 70s. You know, when I started reading the Bible and teaching the Bible, it's been going through a book at a time, or going through from Genesis to Revelation.
The whole counsel of God.
Exactly. That's it, Danny.
Well, then you're not just serving apple pie and pie a la mode, right? And not just vegetables all the time either. So balanced diet.
The congregation. The meat and the milk of the word is important, I think.
What have you seen in terms of the fruit of your, you know, it's a hallmark quality of, I think, the Calvary Chapel movement and certainly your ministry here in these islands. What have you seen?
You know, I've seen a number of things. A number of churches have sprung out of, you know, ours, what we've done. I think probably one of the hardest things for a pastor or a teacher that's going to teach a Sunday school class or teach a home fellowship or maybe teach a congregation, I think the hardest thing is to find a text. It's a big Bible. And so sometimes you can spend so much time trying to think, what am I going to teach on Sunday morning, or what am I going to teach this Bible class? And a lot of time is spent trying to get just the exact text. And then when you get that text, then, you know, it kind of flows. And so we found, say you're going to teach the book of Romans. Well, if you have a home fellowship and you go, well, this week we're going to start in the book of Romans, chapter 1. Gee, there's the text already, chapter 1. So you go through that text. And then the next week, chapter 2. Now, maybe it's a Sunday morning service and say we're going to teach through the book of, we're in Galatians. So we're going to teach through the book of Galatians. There are six chapters. You could say the first two chapters, Paul is he's defending his ministry. Chapter 3 and 4, he's giving us the doctrine of salvation by grace through faith. And the last chapters 5 and 6, he's dealing with practical application. So tonight, Sunday night, we'll go through the first chapter. But Sunday morning here, we're going to take a topic out of that first chapter. So you can highlight one particular and emphasize one particular point of that first chapter. So you're never without a text. You're always going through the Bible, and you're dealing with the people according to maybe, like you say, Danny, you know, we're living in very difficult times, you know, as we were talking beforehand.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, we're dealing with difficult things,
yes.
Economic things, and people get really discouraged just in their life. And then what's going on over in Japan, that horrendous situation over there. And so you can always emphasize those things as you go through that text. And so I find that you're not searching for a text. It's ready-made because you're going through that book of the Bible.
Mm.
And the people feel like they're actually learning that book. They're learning everything in context, which is really important, you know, in teaching the Bible, keeping it in context.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The integrity of the Scriptures.
Yes.
Pastor Bill can be... you can receive his ministry at CalvaryChapelOfHonolulu.com. Many, 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 a plethora of teaching tapes. And, well, it's not tapes anymore, huh?
No. Yeah, CDs, isn't it? Or MP3.
MP3.
Yeah,
and you can even see him on television on the Kalo station, cable channel 25. Pastor Bill, you know, we talk about crisis, people going through tough times. What do you think God would say to somebody right now who's lost a loved one, who's struggling in their marriage, who's got, you know, financial constraints unlike they've ever would have imagined, health problems? What would you say, Pastor?
You know, I would just want to encourage you that you're going through difficulty, and it's not unusual. You find every great person of the Bible, from David to Paul, they go through difficult times. And yet in going through those, you have to realize that the fruit is born in the valley.
Hmm.
The valleys, there's where the fruit, the very luscious fruit.
Wow.
And God is... in these times, he's working such a deep work in your life, and I would just encourage you not to give up. I mean, we're so prone to want to give up and give in and just throw in the towel, but let me just encourage you that God has got a plan for you. His plans for you are good and not evil. They're for a purpose and for a hope. And I would just encourage you to draw your strength from the Lord.
Mm.
Get alone with the Lord.
Mm.
You find that in those times, those valley times, you want to maybe, you know, you want to run almost to the enemy like David did. He ran to Achish, the king of the of Gath, and in the time of those deep heart-rending times, he went to the enemy. It was temporary. But it was such a great time for him to draw upon the Lord, and he ultimately, eventually did. So I would encourage you, don't run to the world, but run to the Lord. Get alone with your Bible and let God speak to you. He will speak peace to your heart. He will speak hope to your heart. And realize this, that God is conforming you into the image of Jesus Christ. Some of the deepest suffering that you'll experience is the fellowship of the suffering of Christ. And you may be going through that right now, the fellowship of the suffering of Christ. I would encourage you, as Jesus, he knows what you're going through. He, in all ways, like you, he was tempted and yet without sin, so he can identify with you in this difficult time. Draw close to him, and he will draw close to you.
Well, Pastor Bill, the words of a shepherd. Shepherd of the Lord, thank you for your sensitivity and your faithfulness and your words of encouragement. So it's always a blessing to be with you. Scripture for today, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, be ready in season and out of season, even as Pastor Bill shared a timely word today. It's always a blessing to be with you. We've been joined by our featured guest today, Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. Until next time, I'm Danny Yamashiro with my technical producer, Leah Rodriguez. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.
Just leave it to me. I'll leave.